Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Daylight Savings Time. Great to see you all here today. Let's begin our time of worship by turning to hymn number 601. And we'll sing, Yes, Lord, Yes, 601. Let's stand together as we sing. Praise you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you. We're reminded of when he was speaking to his disciples. He called them friends. What an incredible thing that is, that the God of the universe would be our friend. And we praise you that he is, that you are, and yet you are God and King. And we know this as well. And we pray that as we walk with you as our friend and King, that we would obey you, we'd follow you, like we sang at first, saying yes to what you show us in your word. We know that it's foolish to do otherwise, and we pray that even this time together in this hour would help encourage each of us to be walking that path with you, following your will and your way, following the Holy Spirit as he guides us in the scriptures. And we pray that we will see great things happening in each of our lives this coming week for having been here together today. We pray that you bless this hour, fill each of us with your spirit, and especially Pastor as he brings the message, that you would guide him and strengthen him as he proclaims your word, and may we have hearts that are open and receptive to what you have to say. We pray that you would bear much fruit in us, that we would shine forth for Jesus as we go into this week. Commit this hour to you, give you thanks and praise for it. Pray for your blessing on each heart today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Supply the needs. Reading chapter 14, and I'm going to begin in verse 13 in order to get the context. Matthew 14, beginning at verse number 13. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them, and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It's a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out unto all the country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made perfectly whole. Let's have a word of prayer together. Our Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you for the opportunity that we have to be here today to worship you in your house. Lord, you know our hearts today. We know there are many that are perplexed, confused, and don't know exactly what to do. We heard about it in Sunday school this morning. So many that are in difficulties, and we pray that you'll be with them and help them, and pray that you will just meet their needs in every way. We just ask you to undertake concerning these various problems and our loved ones that are needy. And we pray, dear Father, that you would work in a very real way. And Lord, we thank you for your saving grace and mercy. Lord, we're always mindful that without you, Lord, we have nothing. And so we pray that you will lead us and guide us and help us in all that we do, that we would be pleasing in your sight. We thank you for the good times that we can have, our Father, like the banquet the other night. We can rejoice together in fellowship, seeing some old friends that we hadn't seen for a long time. And we just pray your richest blessings upon all of us, that we might look to you and serve you in the way we should. We do pray, our Father, for our missionaries today. We thank you for each and every one of them and the work that they are doing in various places around the world. We just pray that you will bless the word as it goes forth, the gospel, that it might bring many to Christ, that we might see many souls come to know him. And Lord, just help us with all the problems that we face each day, that we might remember that you're still on the throne and that we can look to you for every need that we have. Thank you for all your goodness to us. Bless your word to our hearts today and guide us by your Holy Spirit. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's turn once again to Matthew 14. Of all the miracles that Jesus performed, only one of them is recorded in all four Gospels. Now, that is the feeding of the 5,000, or the multiplication of the loaves, if you will. But this is the only one of the miracles that is repeated again and again in different circumstances and by these four different authors. But here in Matthew, we find that when Jesus learned of the death of John the Baptist, he decided it was time to take a break from the ministry and go to a deserted area and rest. This was his intention. No doubt saddened by the death of his faithful servant John, we saw last week, he decided to do this, to give him and his disciples the opportunity to regather their way of thinking and to face the work that was before them. The disciples had just returned also from their ministry. They had been out on the road preaching and teaching, and they needed to rest. They needed to find time to get into the Word themselves or listen to Jesus teaching them. So no doubt he wanted to have more time to reach them, to teach them, and to encourage them along the way. You know, all that they had faced as they went out on the road, different places, all these different villages, they must have encountered all kinds of people, you would think, and I'm sure they needed help from the Lord Jesus in knowing how to face all of these various situations. And so this is what we're looking at here. So when Jesus heard about the death of John the Baptist, he had decided to go to this special place, took a ship or a boat, and went across the Sea of Galilee to this place where there weren't as many people, supposedly. Right? This is what he expected. Well, I mean, it's hard to preach about Jesus, isn't it? Because, I mean, he knew, I guess. But at the same time, presenting it to us that we might understand more fully, he wanted to find a place of rest. But then when he got there, he found that all these people had already gathered, and there was a multitude already there. They saw the ship going, I guess, and so they went on foot around the top of the Sea of Galilee there, and they were already there when Jesus arrived. And so here he is. It says he saw a great multitude, and he, notice what he said, he was irritated that he couldn't get some rest. Right? Is that what it says? No. It says he was moved with compassion toward them. He began to heal the sick. Jesus was always concerned about other people, wasn't he? He was always that way, and put his own pleasure in the background when it came to helping others. The compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ toward these people who were in need. He laid aside his own weariness and his sadness to do the work that needed to be done. And so he was able to meet the needs of these people, moved with compassion. You know, and that's something that we all need, isn't it? I think basically we people in general are what? Selfish. Right? We want our own way. We want to do what we want to do. And, you know, we see somebody else in need. Well, maybe John Smith will take care of that problem, you know, or Susie, somebody else will help out in that. So we don't need to do it. But Jesus wasn't that way. He knew he was the one who had the power to help in this situation, and he did it. He began to heal the sick. He saw the needs, and so he did that. He saw them, it says in Mark chapter 6, it says he saw them as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he taught them many things. So he knew, not only did he heal, but he also was teaching them and helping them with their problems and with their need that they had to understand more fully who he was and what he was about. So here we find the compassionate ministry of Jesus, and a lesson there for us that we need to have that as one of our fundamental reasons for serving him. Then we see there was a problem to solve here. In verse 15, it doesn't say very much about what he did, except we know that all along Jesus healed and helped people, taught the word of God, and all of that. And then towards evening, it says, his disciples came to him, and they said, "Hey, Lord, you know, it's getting late. And these people don't have anything to eat. They've been here all day, you know. What are we going to do with this great multitude of people? 5,000 men plus women and children. And they don't have anything to eat. It's getting late," right? And so, he says, "This is a problem to solve. A big problem." And so they heard their advice was, what was it? Send the multitude away. Okay, we've got a problem. Let's get rid of it, you know. Send them away. And Jesus said, on the other hand, how about you doing something about it? Why don't you help these people in their needs? You know, so often we don't see the needs the way the Lord does. And so we say, send them away. Yeah, that's the best thing to do. We don't, you know, we don't have anything. What are we going to do? Here we are. And he said, okay, what do you have? And they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And these were those little rolls, you know, like you get a little sandwich or something. This little boy, apparently, according to one of the other Gospels, brought his lunch along, right? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And that was for him. One person. And now they've got all this food for the whole crowd. He said, well, now, this is an impossible situation, right? And yet, Jesus worked it out to where he fed the whole crowd with 5 loaves and 2 little fishes. Now, how did he do that? He said he took the bread, he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples. You notice? They are not left out of this. Jesus didn't just say, okay, be filled. Here we are. Now we're all happy, right? No. He gave the food to the disciples, and the disciples passed it out to the people. One of the other Gospels says that they sat down in little sections of 50 or 100, and then the disciples would go by and give them the food. And that's but it was all organized in such a way that everyone was filled. No one was left out. And everyone had plenty to eat and were satisfied with what they got. So they did all eat and were filled. And then they took up 12 baskets full of food left over. Why would there be 12? Why do you think there would be 12 baskets full of it? Well, what about the disciples? I think there were 12 of them, right, at this time? They were all there, right? And so each one no doubt had a basket to take along for later on when they got hungry. So here we find this wonderful miracle. Very simple, actually, when you think about it, with Jesus being the one who is able to do whatever is necessary. And here he feeds this whole crowd, but, as I said, he uses the disciples to do it. And what does that say to us? How does the Lord work today in our world? Does he just send the food down from the sky, like with the manna, like in the wilderness, you remember? He could do that if he wanted to. We might get tired of the manna, like the Israelites did. Right? But we find that He uses us to help one another that we might be able to accomplish all that needs to be done. And he supplied the need. And notice also another thing I didn't mention. It says in the Gospel of John, they didn't have any money. Philip told Jesus, he said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take a little. You see, that's one explanation. They were going to, you know, see if they had enough money to buy food, but no, they didn't, of course. And so Jesus here is proving the disciples, testing them, showing them that ultimately he is the one who has to supply the need, right? It's not something we can do ourselves. I mean, he does it many times through his disciples. You know, he does the work. But ultimately, he is the one who must accomplish whatever is done. So here, we say he sends these people down. He took the bread and the fish and he fed them. And he pronounced a blessing on it. He broke it up in pieces and the disciples distributed it out to everyone. Everyone was completely satisfied and there were 12 baskets left over. So, as I said, Jesus could have done this miracle alone if he had chosen to. But he said no. He wanted his disciples to be involved, to show them that they can serve in that way, just like we today can serve the Lord if we will only look to him and find out what he wants us to do. These disciples, they would not have known what needed to be done if Jesus had not told them. See? That's the reason we need to be always in the scriptures, reading the scriptures and praying and asking God, what do you want me to do, right? And as we do that, then he can lead us and direct us and show us what we can do as believers and as his servants. So that's the idea here. Now, okay, after the miracle, come down to verse 22. It says, straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Now notice, he's going to send them out into the Sea of Galilee. Okay? And then he wants them to go before him to the other side. And he sends the multitudes away. Now, he dismissed the crowd. It tells us in John chapter 6. Let's take a look at that. John chapter 6 and verse 14. It says, then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, feeding the 5,000, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. So here we find these people, they saw this, what Jesus had done, feeding all these people. Hey, this is great. You know, let's make him king and we can just live like this all the time. How about that? Always have plenty to eat and no problems whatsoever. And so Jesus said, hey, wait a minute. You know, this isn't the time nor the place. You know, God has his plan. And so he wasn't ready to become the king yet. He is going to be the king, though, right? We're looking forward to that. But he has his own timetable. And we're looking to him. So, he quickly told the disciples, you go get in the boat, go across the sea, go on the other side. He took it and told the multitude, okay, it's all over. Have a good day, you know. Sends them all away quickly. And then he goes off into the mountain by himself to talk to the Father. An opportunity that he has, that he is finally has time to spend with the Lord, with his Father, and in prayer. And I'm sure after all he's been through here, he certainly needed to have that fellowship with his Heavenly Father. Meanwhile, notice here, he's up there in the mountain. Now, verse 23, it says, when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. Okay, it's evening now. They'd gone, been there all day long with all the crowd, feeding them and so forth. And now they were all gone. The disciples were out on the sea, and the people had gone home. And Jesus is there alone with the Father. But what about the disciples? Notice it says in verse 24, the ship was now in the midst of the sea. How long had they been there? I don't know. Every time, since Jesus had sent them away, they went out into the into the water. But it says the wind was contrary. So here they are, rowing this boat, trying to get across to the other side of the sea, and they can't do it. Here they are, constantly waiting, trying, and no doubt the wind was blowing so hard that they couldn't make any headway in getting across the Sea of Galilee. And so here they are, no doubt perplexed and wondering, what in the world are we going to do? We can't get out of this storm. Now, they tell us on the Sea of Galilee that that happens real often. You know, all of a sudden the wind will come up and the storm will come and you can't possibly go forward as you're trying to go across. And so Jesus is watching them there. And notice it's not just evening here, but it's later in the night, actually, when he finally does come. There they are, rowing and trying to get, and they can't go anywhere. And it says verse 25, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. You know, they divided the time up into four different watches during the night, and the fourth watch begins at 3 a.m. Now, they've been there for a while, haven't they? You know, why did Jesus wait so long to go help these disciples? Huh? Oh, you know, hey, Sophia. Okay, well, you know, we don't always understand the Lord, do we? You say, hey, Lord, I've been rowing here for an awful long time. Where are you? He's alone on the mountain praying, right? Right now, Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, right? As we are here rowing our boats across the sea, right? Trying to make some headway and many times not being able to do anything. But then eventually Jesus does come to their rescue. Notice this is another miracle. Here he comes walking on the sea. Who does that? Well, we find here he comes. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled. Because that's something you don't use the sea, right? If you're out there on a boat, you don't usually see somebody walking on the waves, right? Especially when it's stormy, right? This wasn't just a placid time. It was a storm. And here comes Jesus, calmly walking across the waves. And they look at him and they say, oh my goodness, it must be a spirit, it's a ghost or whatever. You know, and they were troubled because they didn't understand what was going on. They cried out what? For fear. They were afraid. And so often, that's what happens to us as well. We face these various problems in life, as we have now. Loved ones that are going through difficult times, and we don't know what to do. We get afraid. But he says, Jesus will come and help us if we will look to him. And so this is it. They were afraid. They thought it was a ghost. But he assured them that it was he. Notice verse 27. Straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. You know, be not afraid. That's the message. Don't be afraid. When everything seems to fall apart, when the bottom drops out, when there's so many problems all around, do not be afraid. Trust in the Lord. You know? Do you know that verse? That's one of my favorite verses that always pops into my mind. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now I know that verse. I can't remember the rest of it. We're thinking. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. There you go. Yeah. Okay, very good. So don't be afraid. Trust the Lord, and he will come to your rescue if you will look to him. He doesn't always come as soon as we want him to, but he does eventually come. And then who? Verse 28. Peter. Peter's always the one, you know, that's prominent. He's always the one to do something. And Peter answers him and says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Now that's a pretty audacious thing to do, isn't it? To be willing to step out of the boat and go out on the waves and go to Jesus. Huh? Peter started out very well. And he had faith. He believed. And Jesus said, okay, come on. Come on, I'm waiting. And when Peter came down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Okay. What do you think? There it is. Peter walked on the water. That's a pretty great thing to do. None of the rest of them did. The other 11. They didn't walk on the water, but Peter did. But then what happened? But when he saw the wind boisterous, he saw the problems, he saw the difficulties, he saw what could happen. And what happened? He started going down. Right? He took his eyes off of Jesus and he started going down. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the Father on high. Right? We look unto him. Keep your eyes on Jesus, and you will not sink. How's that? Be able to walk on top of the waters. And Jesus, he said, then he got scared, and he said, Lord, save me. That's quite a short prayer, isn't it? Huh? Lord, save me. Here he's going down to the water, through the waters, and he says, hey, who am I going to look to? Lord, save me. And Jesus reached out, grabbed him by the arm, and took him to the boat. So, and what did he say here? Immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand, caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And here I found something. I think it was Spurgeon, it says, yeah. He says, that where it says, O thou of little faith, it's only one word there. It means he called Peter little faith. Little faith. That's his name at this point. Before that, he had great faith. He was willing to step out of the boat, out onto the water, but now he loses that confidence and he begins to sink. Jesus says, Oh, little faith, why don't you believe? You know? And yet we are all like that, I think. One moment we may be have our faith bolstered and we think, oh, how wonderful. And then the next minute we are scared to death that something's going to bother us, right? That happened. And so he says, if Peter here just starts to sink and Jesus reaches out and grabs him and takes him back to the boat. It says, and when they will come into the ship, the wind ceased. As soon as Jesus got there, calm, right? And so that's the thing that we think about. We need to have Jesus with us in order to have a calm spirit, you know? And when we go off on our own and don't have him there present to help us, in a sense, we need his presence. Jesus, you know, talking about that church over in the book of Revelation, Jesus said, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open the door, I'll come in, sup with them, and they with me. See, that's what he asked. And that's the way it was with Peter here. He had to call upon the Lord and ask him to rescue him from this difficult situation. And he did. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then it says in verse 33, notice this. Then they that were in the ship, the disciples, came and worshipped him. They bowed down before him, realizing who he was, saying, Of a truth, Thou art the Son of God, who he claimed to be. This is what the way the scriptures present him. And they said, This is the truth. You've shown it to us. We believe it. And they worshiped him and exalted him. So, wow, as we see this once again, Jesus demonstrated his power and who he really was, as he had satisfied the needs of the people with his teaching, his healing, his feeding them, satisfying every need that they had. He now meets the needs of the disciples when they were in trouble out there on the stormy sea, and rescued them, took away their fear, and gave them this calmness of heart. So, in the same way, he still meets the needs of his people today. We just need to trust him, put our faith and confidence in him. As it says over in 1 Peter, it says, Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know? It's wonderful to know that the Lord does. He does care for us. And he continues to help us in our times of need. So here they go on their way to another place, land of Gennesaret. And when they saw him coming, they knew who he was. And they brought in those that needed help. And he healed them, taught them, continued on with the ministry that he had been doing. And they besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. So the Lord, excuse me, almost made it. Sorry. Anyway, the point is, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And just what he did back then, he's still able to do today in one way or another. And we just need to look to him and find the strength to keep on going. I don't know what happened to my throat, but anyway, let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for helping me to get through most of this. And I do pray that you'll bless our church, our people, and guide us and help us in all that we do, that we might know what you want us to do, and that we might do it with a grateful heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.